1240WNBS.com presents The Neil Bradley Show.
Welcome to the program. Kara Amundson, Murray State softball coach, will be my guest. We'll talk some Racers softball. They had a really good weekend. They did split at Tennessee State. Then they came home, and they put the hammer down on Belmont, allowing just one run and picking up a pair of victories yesterday. So we're going to talk with her about the season to date, get an update, just like we did with Coach Mulder last week on baseball. We hope to talk with Kevin this week as well. They got a busy week. We'll probably maybe get his interview in on Thursday of this week with game days coming up Tuesday, Wednesday. But softball team yesterday getting a 4-1 win in game one. Shelby Miller getting a two-run homer in that opener. And Mason Robinson getting a complete game victory, allowed just one run on five hits. And then in game two, Jocelyn Rogers and Kayla Levins each drove in a run. And Haven Campbell went the distance, a complete game shutout. The Racers now 17-20 overall, 7-7 in the OVC. And again, we'll talk with Coach Amundson in just a few moments about that. We'll get you caught up with everything else. Murray will return to action Wednesday at 3:30 when they play at Southern Illinois this weekend. They have SIU Edwardsville coming in. Baseball, Jacksonville State, by the way, let's put this into perspective. No one in the OVC had beaten them one game this year. Yesterday, that changed. Murray State managing to take the third game after losing the opening two. They take game three, 6-5 over Jacksonville State. Ryan Dills whiffed seven over 5 1/3 innings. Brandon Hicks gets the save. Caleb Hicks and Jack Arnick pace the offense with 3-for-4 days at the plate. Murray now 6-9 in the OVC, 16-19 overall. They're back in action tomorrow night at 6 when Evansville comes to Reagan Field. Moa Folk, how about her? First victory as a Murray State Racer. She went wire to wire, and Saturday she claimed the championship of the Jan Weaver Invitational at Miller Memorial. She finished with a 223, had a sparkling final day with a 72. The Racers' five-shot lead heading into the final day didn't hold up. Morehead really had a good day. They finished three shots better than the Racers. Sydney Trimble finished in 19th with a 238. So now Murray State awaits the OVC championship later this month in Owens Crossing, Alabama. For just his second appearance at the event, and I know this isn't a Murray story, but it is an OVC-related story, former Jacksonville State golfer Danny Willett is your Masters champion. And, I mean, he's played right here in Paducah. Willett was the 2006 OVC Freshman of the Year. Then in 2007, he was the medalist when the OVC Championship was held at the Paducah Country Club. He's just the eighth player in Masters history to win the event in a first or second start. He's only the second Englishman to win it. So he's not from Jacksonville, Alabama. He played there, but he doesn't have a Southern accent. He has an English accent. He's from Sheffield, South Yorkshire. And as I said, second Englishman to win the event. He didn't do too bad last year, 38th at the 2015 Masters. Murray State women's track and field competed in the second day of the WKU Hilltopper Relay Saturday. They had 10 top 10 finishes on the day. They're back in action Tuesday. They'll travel to Walnut, California for the Mount SAC Relays. Now, due to weather issues, the Murray State tennis matches against Tennessee State Saturday postponed until 1 p.m. tomorrow. The match change affects the men's and women's teams. Prior to tomorrow's matches, there will be a ceremony to honor all senior tennis players. High school sports for just a moment. High school baseball Saturday, Carlisle County down Callaway County 6-5. In softball, Murray High won their own spring break bash. They beat Henderson County 3-2, Graves County 12-3. Callaway County playing in Clarksville, Tennessee in a tournament. They lost a pair, losing to Gordonsville, Tennessee 9-1 and Bourbon County 4-3. Today, weather permitting, Murray High plays Fulton City in baseball tonight at 7:30. And Murray will play the Fulton County Mayfield winner in the Region 1 All-A tournament. That game will be played tonight, weather permitting. Murray State freshman guard Chad Culbreth announcing via Twitter Saturday afternoon he will be transferring to John A. Logan for next season. Culbreth averaged 4 points per outing in 23 games last season for the Racers. There may or may not be more coming. Who knows? Nothing official from anyone, but we'll know a lot more probably by the end of the week, into next week. Wednesday is National Signing Day, and we'll see what the Racers bring in. And you can pretty much tell by what they bring in as to if there will be anything else transpiring in terms of roster moves. Kentucky's Tyler Ulis is the top point guard in college basketball, according to the folks who vote for the Bob Cousy Award. The Bob Cousy Point Guard of the Year Award went to Ulis. He was announced the winner during the ESPN College Basketball Award show on Friday. Some good news for former University of Louisville basketball player Kyle Keurig. He returned to work after having emergency brain surgery. Keurig had the surgery in November in Spain, where he'd been playing professional basketball. Keurig had 9 points in 11 minutes in his first game back yesterday. The Memphis Tigers looking for a new basketball coach, as Josh Pastner left the Tigers after 7 years Friday to take the head job at Georgia Tech. Athletic Director Tom Bowen met with the team's remaining players Friday, assured them he'll find a valuable replacement, or viable replacement. Let me accurately read that. Bowen has said he will not comment on the search until it's complete. Among names mentioned for the job, Middle Tennessee's coach Kermit Davis. I could kind of see that. Wichita State's Greg Marshall. I say no way on that. I would be shocked if they pull that off. Completely shocked. St. Louis Cardinals. We were crying in our favorite beverage on Friday after the Cardinals had gotten swept by the Pirates. They did some sweeping of their own. Stephen Piscotty singling in the go-ahead run in the eighth inning. The Cardinals with the 12-7 victory. We'll get you caught up with that with this Cardinal wrap-up, and then we'll have the softball coach of the Murray State Racers, Kayla Amundson. She'll join me right after this Cardinal update.
This is the Redbird Report.
Weather Report, and I'm John Rooney, and yesterday in Atlanta, the Cardinals wrapped up their six-game road trip through Pittsburgh and the South by beating Atlanta, sweeping the Braves. 12-7 was the final. But, Rick, that was a game that was in doubt as late as the eighth inning.
Cardinals with 2 runs in the eighth inning and 5 in the ninth. They really picked up Adam Wainwright, a subpar start for Wainwright, but the offense showed up again. They showed up with power, an early Brandon Moss home run, a late Matt Carpenter home run accounted for a lot of those runs, but really a terrific offensive performance. Cardinals are going to be happy headed back to St. Louis.
Sungwan Oh picked up his first major league victory at a 3-up, 3-down inning with 2 strikeouts, and that was at a time where the Cardinals needed a shutdown inning.
There were a couple of times where this game was in doubt, and Oh was very sharp with his slider. He's going to be a big part of the Cardinals' bullpen.
The Cardinals are home today against the Milwaukee Brewers. It's Michael Walker against Taylor Youngman. We're on the air with our coverage at 1:40. The Cardinals and the Brewers with a Redbirds home opener.
Hi, and welcome back to the program. Kara Amundson, the Murray State softball head coach, joins us. Last week battling through some laryngitis, still maybe a little bit hoarse, but Kara, you get 3 out of 4 wins over the weekend in OVC games. Really needed those, and you have to really feel good coming into this week.
Yeah, that was a big deal for us, and we kind of talked as a team going into the weekend that we just have to keep working through some of this stuff. You know, we've been through some different adversity, and just continue to work through some of that stuff. It will just make us stronger as we continue to move, hopefully, to getting in that conference tournament.
Well, I know I was looking at some of the stats in prep for last week's interview when I thought I would have you on.
Yeah.
And I was looking at just a couple of players that were struggling at the plate. Maggie Glass among those.
Yep.
167 as I prepared the interview. But right. She had a really phenomenal week. 8-for-16, batted .500. Looks like she's out of those doldrums. Tell us what kind of was going on with her.
Yeah, I think she was almost trying too hard, Neil, to be honest with you. She was trying to kind of step up and be big, and she was being too big. You know, she kind of got out of what had made her so successful and so consistent last year. And we worked really hard with her, and she did a really good job of just kind of getting in a really good mental state this past week, keeping things small at the plate and being okay with, you know, a ground ball, you know, a blooper, whatever it was that got it done. And I mean, she had a heck of a week, 3 doubles, 4 RBIs, a couple walks, which was some stuff that we hadn't been seeing from her early in the year. So I was pretty proud to see, you know, her work through some of that stuff, because that's not easy to deal with as a player. So.
And I'm almost embarrassed to ask this about Jessica Twaddle, because you have a girl here. She's hitting .316, but last year, just a phenomenal year at .426.
Yep.
Has she had some of those struggles too?
You know, it's funny because they're a little different. Maggie has been striking out a lot, you know, just kind of missing balls. JT, if you come watch the games, you know, she squares balls up and they're going right to people. She just has not really been catching breaks lately. And that, you know, on that end is also a struggle mentally a little bit too, just being able to be okay with a hard hit ball, even if they're making plays on it. So her at bats have been okay, just haven't been catching breaks on that end. You know, but she's still one of the best players in the conference.
And she's not having a bad year.
No, not at all. I mean, she started off on fire, too. You know, she was starting off the season in the upper 400s.
Wow.
And then when we got to conference, like I said, she's still been squaring balls up pretty well, just hasn't necessarily been finding the holes right now. So
another player who's really been hot in this past week, and that is Shelby Miller, 389 this past week. After her average had been a little down from last year, but she's really starting to get it up there too.
Yeah, she's been back and forth a little bit. Shelby's funny. Every year she starts off a little cold and just kind of has to work her way into it. She's hitting .311 on the year right now. You know, and has really been working through some of that stuff. She's been our leadoff hitter this year, which has been a little different look for her. She's hitting .415 in the conference. So, you know, since we've gotten into those games, she's really, really stepped it up a little bit.
And speaking of doing well in conference play, what about Kayla Levin? She has been great in OVC games.
Yeah, she's been having quite a year, man. And that's another kid. I mean, I'm really proud of this team for how hard they work, you know, when we show up to practice, but just the little things that they're doing outside of our designated practice time to just be better players for their teammates. And she's one of them that's just super consistent. I don't know this for sure. I'm looking right now. But she's leading our team in RBIs, which is a very different look than she's had in the past. She's hitting in the 3-4 spot for us this year and had historically been probably in the 7-8 spot for us. So just working really hard at doing stuff offensively and really getting the job done.
Kara, I was comparing last year to this year a bit, and not that it was a bad year by any stretch. You guys were going along really good, but then you hit a stretch right at the end of March and through April where you just were on fire, and we may be seeing a hint of that coming right now.
I sure hope so, Neil. You know, we talk about a lot. You know, we started off the year a little on the struggle bus a little bit, I would say, both offensively and in the circle. We actually started off pretty well, but I would say more offensively. And coming off a year like we had, setting all kinds of offensive records, I think that was a little tough for us to chew on. And, you know, we've just kept saying we don't want to be peaking in February. We don't want to be peaking in early March. We want to be starting to peak right now, moving into the end of the year, and I sure hope that's what's happening.
I also noticed from an error standpoint, you're on a pace to have I kind of figured it up, about 10 fewer than last year. Looked like some improvement there overall.
Yeah, I mean, we've worked really hard this year on just working behind our pitchers. You know, Mason Robinson has been having an incredible year this year and just really getting us a ton of ground balls. And, you know, we don't need strikeouts. You know, we've got the defense to be able to make plays, and we've worked really hard on that this year of just making routine plays. You know, we're doing a great job again turning some double plays behind them, you know, if we do get that lead runner or first or second runner on. So that's something we've really kind of honed in on this year is making sure we're making plays behind the pitchers because they're busting their butt in the circle. So
you missed some terrific seniors from last year's team. Did that take a period of adjustment, in your opinion?
You know, you always are losing seniors, and the three starters that we lost obviously did some really good things for us last year specifically, and the three of them set some individual records on the year. To be honest with you, I feel like we're not the same without them, but I think that we've filled in those holes a little bit the way we needed to. So
You mentioned Mason Robinson, and she has really stepped in. Anytime you have a pitcher who's delivering an ERA under 2 like she has right now, you have a chance to win every game she's in.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if we can score 2 and she can hold somebody to 1, that's a win every time. And like I said, she's just doing an incredible job of not even striking people out, but just really attacking the zone and letting our defense make plays behind her. And she even has done a great job fielding her position, making some plays, getting lead runners out. Things like that. So this past week she threw 0.5 or 0.4 ERA, I think, on the three games that she came in. So, Yeah, she's having an incredible year and just really comfortable, really healthy right now, which is something we love to see.
And I have to mention Haven Campbell, her performance yesterday. It was fitting that she got that final out, little pop right back to the box, and she's able to turn into the final out. But she was terrific yesterday in a game you really needed against Belmont.
Yeah, we did. We did. It was a big game, and she had come off of Saturday. She had given up 11 hits on Saturday, so to turn around and really be aggressive and attacking the zone and just keeping the ball down in kind of the same concept as Mason, just attacking the zone and letting our defense help behind her. I was really proud of her for her turnaround from Saturday to Sunday, no doubt.
And that's amazing that a pitcher can do that, can have a day where you don't do as well, and you really just got to forget about it and start the new day fresh, don't you?
Yeah, that's, you know, that's the, I would say, probably one of the biggest differences between baseball and softball is that pretty much every pitcher is going to have to go again. So you've got to have short-term memory, whether it's good or whether it's bad. You've got to have a short-term memory because you're doing something new and different against a new team. So it was a big deal from Haven to turn around like that.
This week you do have the road game at SIU, but then you're back home with three against SIU Edwardsville, and these are important games and kind of jockeying for position for the OVC tournament.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say the 1 and 2 seeds are kind of ahead of the rest right now, but literally I think every other position could go either way for the next few weekends. So yes, you're absolutely right. We kind of talked yesterday after our games about win every series from here on out, you know what I mean? So just making sure you're getting two of the three games in the three game series and really trying to go two or three on our four game series weekends moving forward, we're going to be able to put ourselves in a pretty good position.
What about the split weekend like you had where you play two on the road and then have to come right back and play two at home? How difficult is that?
Yeah, that's a little different. And we in Tennessee State are actually the only two teams that split the weekend like that, just how the conference is set up. Mm. I think because it's a shorter trip, it's not as big of a deal. And it's nice, I think, being able to play that Sunday series at home and just be able to be at home on that weekend. But anytime you travel, you know, every team knows this, anytime you travel it just takes a little more out of you. So I was pretty proud for how we turned around, and I just felt like we were in a really good position yesterday. We were in control the whole game in both of the games, so we were excited to see that yesterday.
I want to ask you one thing about the OVC tournament moving maybe not to a neutral state but a neutral site. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think as a coaches group, it was just something that we kind of agreed on in terms of being able to help our conference tournament move forward, just in terms of being able to market it and just the travel plans that we have to make sure that happen. The past 3 years since I've been here, the number one seed has been decided the last weekend of the year, which then the turnaround time for us to just plan for that, you know, where we're going has been kind of crazy. So we just, as a coaches group, feel like putting it in a neutral site is going to help us with the travel plans on the front end, but also allow us as a OVC to market us a little bit. And the field that we're going to is just incredible. It's a brand new field. It's stadium seating, you know, and everything that we could want and need on a field. So it, like you said, it's not necessarily neutral demographically, but I think all of the OVC softball coaches and teams are pretty excited to try this out.
Tell me about health-wise going into this week. How are you?
Yeah, I mean, we're doing pretty good, to be honest with you. Every team is dealing with some bumps and bruises right now. You know, that's what happens when you play 56 games in about 2.5 months. But I'm happy with where we're at. You know, our starters are starting every game and that kind of stuff. So we're in a pretty good spot.
All right, Kayla, I appreciate the visit. Thanks so much, and we'll check back with you again later, okay?
Awesome. Thanks, Neil.
That's Kayla Amundson, the head coach of Murray State Softball. All right, coming up on Tuesday's show, it will be Josh Plenos, Washington Post contributor, and we'll talk NBA, the end of the season, coming down to the wire. We'll talk about that, a couple of articles that he's written. All that and more on Tuesday's Neil Bradley Show on 1340WNBS.com.